Hi, my name is Cindy Mochizuki, and I'm a visual artist, and I make multimedia installations, drawings, and performance. The paper was based on, or it came out of a research residency that I went to in 2014 in Yonago, Tottoriken, in Japan. And at that time, the curator that I was working with, Makiko Hara, was doing a lot of research on artists working back and forth between Canada and Japan, looking at the Trans-Pacific, and she had invited me to think of a work to be made for Yonago. And one of her curatorial premises was that she thought that Vancouver, the islands of Vancouver, like the Gulf Islands, resembled the geography of Yonago in the sense that, like, even just aesthetically, like this ruby red sunset, the vast oceans, and then so she thought that there was a connection there. And so she invited me to think or imagine a work for Yonago. And when we went there, we were invited to do different site visits and like almost taken like a tourist through this city that I had actually been to before. So I was fascinated with some of the artists that came out of Yonago. So I'd been there some time prior. So I was familiar with it in terms of some of its tourist sites, some of its like what they're known for. Each region of Japan is known for some specific things. And so we were taken to this elder in the city of Yonago. He had this like, he offers a boat tour for like about $10 Canadian. And you kind of traverse or travel through the canalways. So Yonago used to be a castle town, so you can still see the canals that merchants would come to sell goods. And he takes you on this little boat tour, and I think his perspective is very much about sort of like the gentrification of this area or this island. And so he's pointing to things that are disappearing, and very much from the ground level of a citizen that cares about what's happening to the waters there and what's happening to the island. And it's actually called Naka-umi, so it's like the brackish lake. So its lake water is connected specifically to the ocean, so also to the Japan Sea. So very different species and vegetation and life would grow in that kind of water. And I guess back in the day, many families would spend time there. And now if you go there, it's like polluted and people have forgotten about it. And so he kind of stresses the importance of that on this tour in Japanese. And he pointed to this island just off the shoreline that we were on called Kayashima. And he just kind of briefly said, like, when I was a little boy, my grandfather told me that this woman made these great noodles and there used to be a restaurant there and people would have to go there by boat. And then he sort of carried on. And I was very fascinated with this nugget or this like little story that came out of this. And so I said to Makiko, well, I think I'd like to make a story or make a piece that's about this island, whether it's fictional or non-fictional or hearsay or whatever. I think that's going to be the root or starting point. So I went home and did some research about Yonago and to see if it had any connections to British Columbia. And so I found that in the 1900s, there was a boom of migration from that region, not necessarily Yonago, but another area nearby called Sakai Minato to Vancouver. And then a lot of the Japanese migrants worked in like the lumber mills or, you know, worked in hothouse tomatoes on Main Island and Gulf Islands and were part of the industry building up that time before the internment. And so in paper, it's about a 20-minute audio work that I had imagined like you would listen to on headsets and you would, it's for that boat tour. So we asked the boat elder who's giving the tour, like, if I make this piece, is it okay if we play this while you tour or you drive the boat? He said, sure. So it's a 20-minute audio work where there's a woman named Kay, and she's just the letter K, and she's working out of this restaurant. It's a family business. She's trying to master a very specific kakiage tempura, which is like burdock roots and carrots and tempura. It's like this like kind of mash of tempura and noodles, and she's very bored and kind of like running this family restaurant, and she encounters this ghost. Well, what I know as the writer is it's a ghost of a Japanese-Canadian lumberjack that kind of passes through and drops behind this letter. And the other thing that I had discovered when I was in the archives doing research about Yonago and Vancouver was that the boom of migrants that came over came because they were called over by somebody that got here first. And they wrote what's called the Yobiyose letter, or a calling letter, to kind of woo families over. A little bit kind of in a sort of very nostalgic sort of flowery kind of way by saying, like, we've got this, you know, great ocean, there's salmon, there's abundance of work, but then they come and it's, like, complete, like, difficult times as a racialized migrant to come over and, like, you know, you're not getting paid well and you're, it's like, it's, you know, it's complete opposite. But the letter that I found in the archive was from someone from Yomi Yonago kind of extending out to be like, come on, family, you know, there's this, I bought this forest, there's, you know, lots of work to be done. And so the piece in the very end, she has this connection to the menu, which is actually a paper, like a papery menu. And when the ghost leaves, the menu sort of a hole rips open and she's able to see this Douglas fir and this forest. And then when she goes back to the wall where the menu had fallen, so where the menu hit the wall, also there's a rupture in the wall. So she's able to see through to the 1900s, British Columbia, and she starts to see this sort of like this lush forest, and it kind of ends there. And I had imagined that I would kind of come back and finish rock and scissors. So rock, paper, scissors is actually in Japanese junkenpon, or it's like, it is rock, you know, the game the kids play, of course. And it's sort of a game that you play to kind of who goes first or who's going to get this treat or whatever, you know, it's like a common game in Asian families, I think. And I mean, I thought that at some point I would write rock and scissors and paper was that story that's sandwiched in the middle. But what happened was that when we finished the work, everybody from the community or different people kind of came forward and said, I know something about the island, or I can tell you something. And I was invited back in 2016 for a different residency to kind of gather all this stuff. And then rock and scissors was born. So that's how paper got started.